If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Isaiah. I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, I would like to read verses 13 through 16. Before we begin to endeavor to read from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God and to know that You're not only the God of heaven and earth that spoke this world into existence, but that You're our Heavenly Father. And we're thankful that we have a Father that's perfect and holy and righteous in every way. We're thankful that we know that You never make a mistake. We're thankful we know that You love us with an everlasting love, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're thankful, Lord, that we know that we're in Your hands, and we pray that You would help us to realize and remember that You do really, really love us, and You love us just as much today as that day that You sent Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You for the surety of eternal heaven. Thank You for the peace of God that floods our soul while we live here in this earth. Thank You for the privilege to not only dwell in the eternal heaven, but thank You, Lord, for establishing the kingdom of heaven and Thy church. And we thank You for the love of the brethren. Thank You for Your holy word. We just thank You, Lord, for all the blessings of life. We thank You for those dear soldiers, the spiritual and natural soldiers that have fought through the years to preserve peace and to bring about the freedoms that we have here in America today. Those that have preserved the truth, we thank You, Lord, for that. We pray that You would help us as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we would put on the whole armor of God, that we would stand against the wiles of the devil, that You would help us, that we might earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and that You would help us, that we might serve Thee more acceptably in the future than we have in the past. Lord, we know that we need Your help. We know that without Thee, we can do nothing. So we ask You to help us in this hour. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come now and ask You to fill us with Thy Spirit, fill us all to be able to hear and understand, to believe, and to obey Thy holy word. We do beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick. We especially pray that You would bless those that have cancer, that You would touch their bodies, that You would bless the medicine that they're receiving, and that You would bless them to be completely restored to their health, to Thy name's honor and glory. We ask You, Lord, to bless those who have lost loved ones. Pray that You would comfort their hearts and give them a special measure of grace. We ask You to bless those that have family troubles and other kinds of problems, other kinds of personal problems. Pray that You would bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Thank You, Lord, for all the blessings of life. We know that our lives have been filled to overflowing with more blessings than we can ever count. So thank You, Lord. But we know that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Thee. Help us now as we study Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We'd like to read now from Isaiah chapter 49, beginning in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 49, beginning in verse 13. The Word of God says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth." Are we doing what that Word of God just said to do? "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." If correctly read, that's Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 through 16. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is found in the last half of verse 16, where the Word of God says to His people, He says, Thy walls are continually before me. God says to His people, and God says to every one of us today, Thy walls are continually before me. The subject that's on my heart this morning is the subject of walls, W-A-L-L-S. There are literal walls, and we could study a lot about that, and there are many lessons to draw from that. But the main thought is about the figurative walls, and that's what God's talking about here when He says, Thy walls are continually before me. Now, a wall, is a wall a good thing or a bad thing? Is a wall for protection, or is a wall an obstacle? Yes, both. It depends on whether you're inside or whether you're outside. If you're outside a city and it's a walled city and you want to get in the city but there are no gates and they won't open the gates, then the wall is an obstacle that keeps you out of the city. On the other hand, if you're inside the city and the walls are there to protect you, then you're glad and you're thankful for those walls. So walls can be and are used for protection, but walls are also obstacles. And the main thing, the first thought that I want us to look at is that walls, I want us to think about walls being obstacles that we have in our lives. And God, and that's in its context, that's what it's talking about. The children of Israel had problems. They had walls in front of them, and they weren't able to overcome those walls. They weren't able to break down the walls. They weren't able to solve their problems. So God says to them, as words of comfort, He says, Thy walls are continually before me. That is, He's saying, I see what your problems are. I know all about your troubles. I know that you have come up against something that's too big for you to handle. And I want us to understand today that God is telling us that when we face those problems, those walls that are too big for us, I want us to understand that God is saying to us, Thy walls are continually before me. I know all about your troubles. And the wonderful thing is, He doesn't just know about those walls, those obstacles that we face. God is able to tear those walls down, and God is able to help us to get over those walls. I called Brother Ben Brown this morning. He runs in a lot of marathons. He's running the Boston Marathon. He's been to Greece, and he runs in a lot of marathons. And I remembered late last night that there's an expression that runners sometimes use when they have been running a while and all of a sudden they say that they hit the wall. Now, they haven't run into something physically, but they hit the wall. He says that that means that they've reached a point where they don't think they can put one step in front of another one again. They've reached that point that all of their energy seems to be gone. And he says, usually, Brother Ben said that usually, that when he hits the wall, it's about mile 20, between mile 20 and mile 22 in a 27-mile marathon. He says, it's about mile 20 that I always seem to hit a wall. And he said, do you know how, you know what I do when I hit the wall? He said, I pray for God to help me get through that wall or to get over that wall. Now, brethren, that's what all of us need to learn, is that as we're running the race that is set before us, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There are walls that we all face, and we need to pray that God will help us to face those walls. But we also need to remember that God is telling us right here, I see your walls. Do you know when walls seem insurmountable to me in my life? Do you know when it is that I think I cannot do anything about a particular problem? Do you know when it is that I think that? It's when I forget God and I forget that He is able to help me with those walls. Doesn't matter how big your problems are, it doesn't matter how big an obstacle that you face in your life, doesn't matter if it's a wall as big as the wall of China, doesn't matter how big that wall is, God is able to tear that wall down or to give you strength to jump over that wall. Go with me in your Bibles back to the book of Psalms. And I want you to notice in Psalm 18 that David talks about this expression about a wall being problems that we face. And he makes this statement in Psalm 18. Look in your Bibles, please, at Psalm 18, verses 28 and 29. David here is speaking, and he talks about what God does for him when he has times of darkness. And listen, brethren, there are people in this congregation, there are other people that are facing great walls in their lives. Major walls. There are some of you that during this past week, that you feel like that the wall just fell down on you. And when those walls happen, when you hit a wall, have you ever seen anybody run into a wall? It's kind of comical, isn't it? I mean, I don't mean to be, that didn't sound right at all, but have you ever seen anybody run into a wall and look kind of funny the way that, kaboom, they run into it and then they back off? Well, running into the kind of walls I'm talking about is not funny at all. It's a horrible experience when you hit the wall. It's a bad experience. And when you hit a wall and you just back up and you realize I've run into a wall but there's not a door and you know you have to get on the other side, you have to somehow keep going. There's only one way you're going to be able to keep going, and that's if God will help you to either get over that wall or tear that wall down. And God is able. I want you to remember God is able. Look now at Psalm 18, verses 28 and 29. Psalm 18, verse 28, here's what David says. He says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord God, my God will enlighten my darkness." Isn't that a wonderful, there's a whole sermon right there. He says, "Thou wilt light my candle, God will light our candle." What does he mean there? God will light my candle. It means in the middle of darkness, in the middle of time that you're depressed and discouraged and despondent, God will come along and just light your candle. God will enlighten your darkness. God will give you light when there is no light. All God has to say is just like He said in the beginning of this world, "Let there be light," and there is light. Have you ever been in the midst of darkness? The Word of God talks about Moses, I believe, that was in the thick darkness where God was. Have you ever been in the thick darkness in the middle of trouble and yet you felt God with you? And did you know that God comes and lights your candle in the middle of darkness? That's a great blessing. It's a privilege. It's something we need to thank the Lord for, is that God does light our candle. That's the expression He uses in verse 28. Then in verse 29, He uses different illustration. He says, "For by thee I have run through a troop." Now, you know what that's talking about? David was a soldier. What was a troop? Just explain in your own words. What is a troop? What would a troop be like? A large group of soldiers. A troop would be a large group of soldiers. And he says, I want you to notice the wording here. Does David give God the glory in verse 28? Does David give God the glory in the middle of his darkness? Who lights his candle? God does. All right, now in the middle of running through a battle, he's not literally now, not just talking about, and I know that God has blessed many soldiers to run through the troop. I'm talking about literally face battles. There have been soldiers in the United States of America, soldiers in all battles that have faced major problems. My daddy was in the invasion of some of the islands in the Pacific during World War II, and he said that when that large piece of equipment would pull up to the beach, and that I don't even know enough to really talk about, but the front of that, what do you call it? Ramp. When the ramp would fall down and they would have to run out of that piece of equipment, He says nobody can imagine the fear that's in somebody's minds. And he said all the soldiers would be on their knees praying. And then they would stand up and they would be praying fervently for God to help them, because when they went out on that beach, they knew that in all probability they were going to be facing gunfire, and they were going to, that many of them were going to die as they began to invade those islands. Listen, brethren, David knew about that kind of battle, and David says, "By thee I have run through a troop." We read about George Washington and how he had many bullet holes in his coat on one occasion where God had protected him. Listen, brethren, God has been with us, and God has blessed us to run through the troop. We've been through battles. All of you in this congregation, you have different kinds of battles and different kinds of problems, but it's by God's grace and with God's help that you run through the troop. And then he says, look at the last part of verse 29. He says, "For by my God have I," what's the last expression he uses there? "Leaped over a wall." Now, that's one way that God can help you to deal with the walls that you face, is by God's grace, by God's power, by God's strength, you can leap over the wall. Isn't that a wonderful illustration? By my God, I have leaped over a wall. Do you think David felt real proud right there? Do you think he felt proud? I don't think there was one ounce of pride in David right here. I think David realized the only reason he got past that wall, the only reason he was able to get on the other side of that wall, it was because of God's strength and God's power. And he says, "By my God have I leaped over a wall." And in your life and my life, there are many times that God has helped us when we faced walls in our lives. And it can be all kinds of problems. You know, the gamut of problems that we're talking about can run from A to Z. And whatever the wall is in your life that you're facing today, you need to think back, you need to remember, you need to reflect on the walls that God has blessed you to jump over in days gone by. And it's by God's grace that you've leapt over the walls in days gone by. And it's by God's grace you can still leap over walls. Brethren, I've seen some of the oldest saints of God in this earth that as far as their physical ability, they could not even walk. But by the grace of God, they have leaped over walls. There are some who are in this congregation this morning. There are about 7 or 8 here that are in wheelchairs. And as far as walking and running, they don't have that ability. Listen, brethren, even though they can't walk and they can't run, they can leap over walls. The very fact they're in the house of God this morning is because they leaped over a wall. Just getting dressed is a wall when you don't have the ability to do that. Just getting out and being able to go to the house of God. Most of these that are here in wheelchairs, the only place they go is to the house of God. But every Sunday morning, you know what they do? They put on their armor of God. They beg God for the strength and the grace they need, and they leap over a wall and they come to the house of God. They come to worship God. They're not here just for the fellowship of the people. They might enjoy that, but they are here to present their bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And they leaped over a wall. And we need to praise God for the example that they set. And as I look over this congregation, I see many of you that have faced serious problems, major trouble, and you've leaped over a wall. It's encouraging, isn't it? Isn't it good to see somebody leap over a wall? Well, I'll tell you what's even more. Isn't it good to read about David leaping over the wall? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something more wonderful is I can look in my life and you can look in your life if God will open your eyes, and you'll realize by God's grace you have leaped over some walls. You hit that point, what Brother Ben said, what does a runner feel when they reach that point? They feel like they've hit the wall. They hadn't literally run into a wall, but they've hit the point where they don't think they can go on any further. Have you ever been there where you felt like you couldn't go one step further on? You felt like you hit the wall. Sometimes you, in trying to make decisions in your life, sometimes you just don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go. And you're trying to make a decision and you're begging God and you just hit a wall. You just don't know which direction to go. Well, I'll tell you what you need to do is what I need to do when I can't make decisions and I'm not sure what God's will is. I need to get on my knees. I need to fast. I need to pray. And I need to beg God, help me to make the right decision. Why? Because I need to leap over that wall so I can keep going in the direction God would have me to go. Did you know the devil sets up a lot of walls? Did you know that? The devil sets up all kinds of obstacles to keep us from going forward in our service to God. I don't think that's taught anywhere more clearly than in the Old Testament. Let me just slow down and please pay attention. You know, sometimes preacher gets to preaching along and just go to sleep. Well, wake up, please, and listen. This is important. It's important. Because you're going to face walls in your life. You need to know what to do. I'm going to face walls in my life. I need to know what to do every time I face a wall. You may face a wall today, a wall so big that you'd never realized a wall could be so big. You know, the children of Israel, when they were going into, you know, they were brought out of Egypt and they were on their way to the land of Canaan. Do you remember that? What does the land of Canaan represent? Is that talking about eternal heaven when you go where you go when you die? No. It's a beautiful foreshadowing of what? The kingdom of heaven. That feeling of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's what we can experience while we live here in this world. If, and I put capital IF, if we do what God tells us to do, we can go into the land of Canaan. We can enter the kingdom of heaven. And all those Old Testament scriptures, the Bible says whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And listen, brethren, I need to learn from the children of Israel. The children of Israel, when they came, well, first of all, what was the first wall they faced, children of Israel? Okay. All right. Okay. You named about five. Somebody said Pharaoh. Was Pharaoh a wall? Yeah, he was a wall. Moses went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go, that they may serve me. Well, there was a wall there that they couldn't get around, wasn't there? That Egyptian army was too big for them to get around. And so what did God do? God helped them leap over that wall. When all of Egypt was mourning because of the death of the firstborn, that wall was broken down. They were able to go out of Egypt. And then as they began the journey in the wilderness, as they began to go along, they faced some walls of lack of water. And as they faced that wall of a lack of water in the wilderness, God sent a rock for them to have water. And when they needed food, God sent manna from heaven to feed them. They hit a wall, but I want you to know that every time they hit a wall, God was there. What does the text say in Isaiah 49:16? God says, thy walls are continually before me. Did the children of Israel ever face a wall that God wasn't there for them? Did the children of Israel ever face a wall that God couldn't help them handle? Not a one. And we'll never face a wall in our lives. But what God is there, and God will help us to overcome those walls. He'll help us in a number of different ways. The children of Israel, after they got the food and the water they needed in the wilderness, later on they finally, I'm going to say 40 years later because I don't want to follow all the history, but 40 years later they finally got to the Red, well, let's go back up. Let's go back to Moses. They got to the Red Sea. You know what the Red Sea was? What was the Red Sea? A wall. There was a wall in front of them. The Red Sea was in front of them. What was behind them? A wall was behind them and a wall was in front of them. And those two walls were coming together and there was nowhere for them to go. I'll tell you, God was aware of the wall behind them. God was aware of the wall in front of them because God says, thy walls are continually before me. Is there more than one wall? He says, doesn't just say thy wall. He says, thy walls. And there was a wall in front of them and a wall behind them. And listen, brethren, the Word of God says that God opened up that wall. He made a gate in that wall. And the Word of God says in Exodus chapter 14, I believe, that when the children of Israel were walking through the Red Sea, that God made the Red Sea walls on each side of them. Now the wall that had been a wall, the same wall, the Red Sea, that had been a wall in front of them that hindered their progress, that wall was opened by God and became a passageway for them. Do you see the difference there? The wall that had been an obstacle now became a wall that was a wall of protection, and they went through on dry ground and came out on the other side, and the Egyptian army began to follow them, and all of a sudden that dry ground that Israel had walked through on, that dry ground began to be mucky, and the Egyptian army's chariots began to bog down. And then what did God do? The walls came what? What did the children sing? The walls came tumbling down. And that was the end of the Egyptian army. Well, they got on into the land of Canaan. They've already come through this big wall, didn't they? How did they get through that wall? By the grace of God. That's exactly right. By the grace of God, they got through that wall. Oh, they're in the land of Canaan now. No more troubles, right? No more troubles. Listen, if the land of Canaan was a type of eternal heaven, there would have been no more troubles there. But the land of Canaan is a type of the kingdom of heaven. If you're going to stay in the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to overcome all the obstacles that interfere with you staying in fellowship with God. You can get into the land of Canaan and be driven right back out by the enemies that are in there, the armies, the Canaanites. They got into Jericho. I want to go up to one particular that we got into Canaan land. We'll go up to Jericho now. They got to Jericho. First city they came to. What was around that city?
Walls.
You know what kind of walls they were? When Moses sent out, you remember way back there in Exodus, when Moses sent out the 12 spies, and 10 of the spies said this. They said, there are great walled cities that go all the way up to heaven. That's the wording they used in Deuteronomy, I think, chapter 21. Great walled cities that go all the way up to heaven. No. That's the reason they turned around and ran 40 years earlier. They were scared of what? They were afraid of the walls. So many children of God go back into the wilderness and they perish when they face great walls. Listen, brethren, we need to understand and remember. God says, thy walls are continually before me. And if you and I live very long, we're going to face a lot of great walls. Walls that look like they're so high they go all the way to heaven. And we won't see any way around those walls. It's a wonderful thing to know you can't make it, but to know God can. It's a wonderful thing to feel and know and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's a wonderful thing when you face big walls, too big for you and too big for anybody else. It's a wonderful thing to go to God in prayer and for God to help you to leap over the wall. Or He can do as He did at Jericho. When they did what He told them to do, and they marched around that city one day, I believe one time each day for 6 days, and on the seventh day they marched around, I think, 7 times, and then the Word of God says, they began to shout, and as they began to shout and blow those trumpets, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Listen, brethren, there was no other way the children of Israel could have defeated Jericho except God tore those walls down. But God would only tear those walls down when the children of Israel did what they were supposed to do. Likewise, in our lives, if we'll do what God tells us to do, and we'll walk by faith and live by faith, and we'll go forward, we'll see the walls go tumbling down. And we'll praise the Lord, because we'll know we couldn't do it. But God tore the walls down. Thank you, Jesus is right, dear sister. Thank you, Jesus is right. There's a lady that can't walk. A lady that's in a chair that can't walk. And she's laying over there saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you, she's doing better preaching than I am. She knows all about the walls. She's seen bigger walls than anybody in this congregation. You know what she's done? She's just laying there leaping over those walls. Devil tries to get her down. What's she laying there doing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you, every one of us ought to be praising God and saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. There's another dear brother, tears just running down his face. Oh, brethren, how sad when the people of God have been able to get over walls and through walls, when God has torn down the walls and we just sit here like it's no big deal. I'll tell you, brethren, if it weren't for the grace of God, any one of those walls would have crushed us.
Any one of those walls could have destroyed us. But God, who is rich in mercy and grace, God has torn down the walls over and over and over in our lives. Now the children of Israel were blessed to see the walls of Jericho torn down. They were told not to take anything out of the city. You remember? Don't take anything out of the city. You remember there was one man named Achan. You can read this in Joshua chapter 7. This man Achan took a Babylonian garment and some gold and silver. Now, could he wear that Babylonian garment? Could he wear it? Why couldn't he wear it? Well, he had to hide it because it was against the law of God and the law of Israel for him to have it. That's stupid, isn't it? That doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, that's a S. If any of you ever hear our grandchildren say, "Papa said the S word," it's stupid. We don't allow them to say stupid, okay? So be sure you understand what the S word is. So I should not have used that. But it does not make sense. It doesn't make sense what Achan did, and we do things that are just as ridiculous as what Achan did. Achan hid that Babylonian garment in his tent, and the Word of God tells us that the next little city, you read this in Joshua chapter 7, the next little city they came to was Ai, just a little city, no big problem there. They could handle that by themselves, so they thought. The wall wasn't that big a wall, so they thought. Listen, brethren, you can get tripped up in a little wall that you'll fall down and break your neck. It'll destroy you. Little walls, it's the little foxes that destroy the vines. Don't you ever think it's a little wall and you can handle it, because you can't handle those walls. When they got to that little city of Ai, they even said, "We don't need to send the whole army up there. We can handle this problem." You know what happened when they got up there? They were defeated. Do you know why they were defeated? Because there was one in the camp of Israel that was living ungodly, and Israel did nothing about it. You know what will happen to this church or this nation when we stop carrying out discipline? You know what will happen to this church and this nation if we allow ungodliness, when we tolerate ungodliness? God will cause us to stop being a successful army. We'll cease to be the army of God if we ever tolerate ungodliness. Ungodliness cannot be tolerated in the camp. It'll destroy the army. So they finally dealt with it. Achan and all of his family, his wife, his children, everything they had was stoned to death. And then the army of Israel went back on their warfare, entering into the great heights, the mountains that were in Canaan land. I want you to go with me very quickly to the New Testament. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 23. Please look at this in Acts chapter 23. Did you know human beings can be a wall to you? Some individuals can be a wall to the people of God. Did Stephen have a wall that he faced while he was preaching in Acts chapter 7? Did Stephen face a wall of people there? Did that wall scare Stephen? Didn't scare him at all, did he? Now look at Acts chapter 23. Look at Acts 23. Listen to verses 1, 2, and 3. The Apostle Paul, the Word of God says in Acts 23, beginning in verse 1, "And Paul earnestly beholding the council," now he's in front of a whole wall of men that are against him, ready to kill him. "And as he stood before the council, he said, 'Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day.' And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, 'God shall smite thee, thou,'" what did he call him? "Thou whited wall." You're a wall. You're just a little obstacle. You're an obstacle, but you're a little obstacle. What made him a little obstacle? Well, he called him a whited wall because he knew he was an obstacle, but what made him a little obstacle? He was a little obstacle because God was with Paul. God blessed Paul. Go with me in closing to one other scripture. We'll turn to Revelation chapter 3. Listen carefully, please. There's a very, very, very important lesson here in Revelation chapter 3. Listen to verse 20. I would remind everybody here that contrary to popular belief, when Jesus spoke these words, He is not standing in the heart of a dead alien sinner wanting to come in if you'll just let him. That's not the Jesus of this Bible, first of all. And secondly, that's not at all the teaching in this passage of Scripture. This is Jesus standing at the door of the church. Everybody listen to this. This is Jesus standing at the door of the church, and Jesus says to His church that He had commended for many things they did right, but they had some things that were wrong. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And then verse 20, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, let me ask you this question. When He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, did Jesus want to get in, but He couldn't get in? No, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. You know what Jesus was doing when He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock? He's saying, I'm telling you, there's something that you've got between Me and you. Something you have built up in your life that's hindering our fellowship. You open that door, you remove that obstacle, and I'll come in and I'll sup with you, and you can sup with Me. But if you don't get over that wall, you don't open that door, I refuse to have fellowship with you. May God help us as His people to understand sometimes we build walls ourselves that hinder our fellowship with God. And may God help us to overcome those walls, because Thy walls, both the walls we built and the walls the devil brings, our walls are continually before God. He sees every wall in our life. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.